What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders Podcast, aka The Whip Show. We are back. Woo, we just had a hell of a week. WrestleMania week in Philadelphia, man. And it was more than you can imagine. Right now, and before I even go further, shout out to my boy Najee from NXT with Najee. This is his first WrestleMania with me as part of the team, and he did an amazing job, and he's got so much content. He's going to bring it to y'all very, very soon. So make sure, if you haven't already, follow NXT with Najee on Instagram. But yes, today, sir. I got my guy, the World Heavyweight Champion, Mr. Joe Walker. How you feeling,
bro? That's me. I'm good. It's good to be here, man. Proud of y'all, what y'all did over in Philly, man. The Whip Show podcast was killing, man.
Oh, we representing, man. We representing big time, man. Killing it, baby. And you know what, guys? You know how to follow us to get all the information. Go to Instagram at The Whip Show Podcast. Facebook, The Whip Show Podcast. It's all the same. Or check us out. Listen to the radio show on 106.1 FM, WAKT, Toledo's community radio station. Or you go on Maj TV on Roku and check us out, the video format. But yes, speaking of WrestleMania week, I was there and it was so much going on, like I said before. And our guest today, I actually got to kick it with him a little bit at WrestleCon. Now, if you guys don't know what WrestleCon is this amazing collection of wrestling legends, almost like wrestling heroes, if you will. You caught that, didn't you? Wrestling heroes, you caught that.
I caught it. I like
okay.
it.
Okay. And one of the brothers that was there was part of the greatest wrestling family ever. And I'm saying that.
Say it again.
Part of the greatest wrestling family ever, I got to meet up with. And he's our special guest today, L.A. Smooth. What's going on, Oos?
Hey, what's up, Oos? How you doing, man? It was a pleasure meeting you in Philly, man. you know, it was hectic, but we met up, and I'm glad we did.
For sure, man. And I got to tell you, like I said, that week was so crazy, man. And I know you did so much. How did you keep it going?
Man, I was like burning the candle at both ends, man, doing WrestleCon during the afternoon and then heading back to the hotel, getting dressed and getting on the bus, going straight to, WrestleMania. And it was just crazy in the Hall of Fame. It was nuts, man. But, I pulled it up. But I tell you one thing, when I got home, I slept like a baby.
It's funny you were saying that. We were just talking about on air before you got on, man. When I got back Tuesday morning. And I probably turned my phone off. I was on DND until Wednesday. I was the rap.
Yeah, man, for so real. I can imagine. I feel you on that.
So I want to kind of touch base with that, man. And guys, like I said, this is L.A. Smooth. And you know who I'm talking about. From ECW, part of the Samoan Gangsta Party, WWE. The man's done it all. But I want to kind of touch on that wrestling weekend that you just had, wrestling week. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, WrestleCon. How did it feel to get that energy and so many of the fans is coming up to you saying what up, though?
You know, you do so many of them, you get used to them. But WrestleCon is a little bit different, man. You got so many legends and superstars there. You know, it's one of the biggest of the biggest. And, I had the pleasure of sitting right next to Sergeant Slaughter, which, his line didn't stop, nonstop. I mean, my man was going crazy from 9 o'clock in the morning till 2 in the afternoon, nonstop. And, I was doing my thing, but I kept looking over at him. I was like, poor Sarge, he just hitting him up, man. He was doing his thing, and he's truly blessed, man. But WrestleCon is, it's pretty awesome, man. I got the opportunity to do it quite a few times, and I was, blessed to be able to do it again.
Good to hear that, man. Good to hear that. Now, besides WrestleCon, man, you were part of one of the most emotional moments of that whole weekend. You were at the Hall of Fame. And yes, not only were you at the Hall of Fame, you was at the Hall of Fame with your family. And if you don't mind telling them, who all from your family was there?
Well, I mean, everybody was there, but in the front row, it was, my Auntie Atta, which is Dwayne's, The Rock's mom. And then we had my Uncle Haku was sitting there, and then you had my cousin Rikishi, and then myself sitting there. And just all the other family on the side. You had the, you know, the Usos on the other side. Yeah, Solo Sikoa on the other side. All the WWE superstars were sitting on one side. So it was awesome, man. It was a great experience, and I'm just thankful. I thank God for the opportunity for me to be there and be part of this special moment, especially for two. I mean, I'm just happy for everybody that got inducted in the Hall of Fame of 2024, but it was a special moment for two people that there was especially special for my auntie Leah that got inducted to the Hall of Fame because you know, she was one of the first lady promoters, which they say it all the time, and it's so true. She was the first lady promoter that ran Hawaii for so long. After my uncle Mavia passed away, and she had all major talent there. So, you know, if anybody deserves it, she did. But number one, man, is the wise man, Paul Heyman, man. I didn't even want to try to miss that for the world, because for working for him and working with our whole family, you know, and being around our whole family for so many years, I have nothing but respect for him. He's one of the smartest people in this business, and I had a pleasure working for him and being around him, you know, most of my life. And I think his speech was unbelievable. It was impeccable. One of the best I've ever seen.
I gotta ask you this, man. I have to know, since we on this only emotional part of the weekend, man. Throughout your career, have you ever experienced emotional weight in professional wrestling as heavy as it was during WrestleMania 40 weekend?
Yeah, it was very emotional a few times for a few Hall of Fames that I've been to. You know, when my dad and my uncle got inducted in the Hall of Fame in 2006, and also when my cousin Yoko got inducted, and it was a shame that, you know, God rest his soul, he couldn't be there to get it personally, but that was very emotional for us as well.
Yeah, I get it. I get it, man.
Yes.
And I'm glad you talked about that Paul Heyman speech, man. And I'm glad they let him be full Paul Heyman. So,
oh, hell yeah.
It wouldn't be
good without that. Come on, man.
But you worked, like you said, you worked for him in ECW. How was it actually working for the wise man? Like, tell us a little story. I know you got a couple of them about working for him.
Man, working for Paul was cool, man. You know, if you had some type of idea, he'd let you, you know, bring it to him. And if it was good, he'd let you run with it. But, you know, most of the time, his mind just flowed. It was like he had everything that he wanted to do, you know, and the angles he wanted to do in ECW, just like he does now, you know, a part of the bloodline. I mean, this man has, his mind goes 100 miles an hour every minute, and everything he thinks of is gold. Wow. That's the way I could put it, man. And he is, you know, he's got his times where he's crazy, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. I was actually telling a story to someone. They were asking me, you know, how was Paul working, like you said, at ECW? He was good, man. He was great. But there was one time where we were working with the gangsters. And I tell this story all the time because I love it. You know, we were working in there, and New Jack, we were in the ring. You know, they come in with the garbage can full of stuff and throw it in the ring. And me and my cousin Matt were working with them. And next thing you know, New Jack picked up a crystal lamp and he hit me over the head with it. And it shattered all over the place. And he looks at me like, damn. So I go over there, and, you know, he didn't bust me open or nothing like that. He thought he did, but I said, that's all right. You got one coming back to you. So we were fighting outside, and next thing you know, we were next to this wall. And I hit him so hard with a forearm, he went through the wall and went through it. And it was like on the other side, it was just an empty room there. So I'm sitting there, and the people were yelling ECW, and I'm waiting for him to come out. And I'm like, I ain't waiting no more. So I walked through the wall and made it bigger. And we came back out and made it more bigger fighting. And then next thing you know, we got back. We're changing. Next thing you know, Paul comes in there. He goes, you effing Samoa, damn gangsters. Oh, now we can't come back to the building no more. We got kicked out of the building because we put a big ass hole in the wall. And that was that building. So that's one of my best stories, you know, with Paul.
That's so dope, man. That's so dope, man. So I want to talk about that a little bit too, man. Like, you guys still have so much representation all over the world of professional wrestling. I mean, you got, like, the main event had Rocky in it. You're in NWA. Jacob is killing it in Zilla in Game Changer Wrestling. Like, how does it feel to be a part of something like that where you guys really have a hold of the whole world?
Well, you know, like you said, we are the biggest family in the industry right now, but it just goes to show you that the apple don't fall far from the tree. My dad and my uncle started this from the beginning and trained all of us to be in this business, and we take this business serious. You know, we don't go out there and we ain't got time to play games. You know, I mean, we're going out there to, you know, kick ass and take names, and that's what we're trying to do. And you know, we put our name on this industry, and I'm just blessed that we continue to put our name on this industry, you know, having our younger generation, our third generation coming up in this wrestling business, and they're taking over. So we got to make and pave that way for them and continue this path going on for the Anoa'i and Fatu dynasty to keep going in the wrestling industry. So, you know, that's my goal, to try to help my nephews and whoever comes aboard to, you know, keep them going, just like the rest of our family. We all try to keep them going. And just it's a pleasure, man. It's just unbelievable, you know, to see how big our family has grown and every different industry, like you were saying, every different other company, and we just keep going and going and going. And you know, our whole family should go down in the Hall of Fame, not just one by every time. The whole
you probably
family
will.
One dynasty.
That's probably going to happen. I mean, realistically, that's probably going to happen. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Now, your family has given us memories that, you know, we'll have forever and continue to pass on, especially from those who are no longer here. Rest in peace. And I just wonder, thinking about you mentioning Yokozuna, and he's one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. And I have to ask, like, for those relatives of yours who are no longer with us, what piece of them do you carry on with you? What have you learned from them, even on tape or on video, that you have incorporated into who you are as a person and who you are professionally as a wrestler?
Well, you know, we all were raised up basically, you know, in the church. You know, I mean, our grandfather and our grandmother, you know, my grandfather was one of the first Samoan preachers to open up churches in California all the way to Alaska. So, you know, we're blessed with that. But you know, just to learn, like, you know, he's gone, Umaga's gone, my cousin Maddie's gone. You know, me and Maddie were very close. We were more than just cousins. We were like brothers. You know, we lived together, we on the road together, and it was just, we had a bond, and we knew each other, you know, just in the ring. We didn't even have to tell each other nothing. It was just that chemistry was there. And just like my brother, Sabu, when we worked together, the chemistry was there. Even with my younger brother, that's that chemistry in our family, it flows. And I don't know how to explain it, but it just goes. And we just know automatically what we need to do and what we're going to do. And it's just, that's just a blessing from God right there, because, you know, you got other people that work together and they got to, you know, work things out. Okay, I'm going to do this, do that. But our chemistry is just there. It's natural. And there's a lot of things that I learned from my cousin Yoko, you know, when he was alive. He was a big giant, but with a bigger heart. Right. And, you know, he was just humble. You know, he'd give you the shirt off his back. I remember I was on the road. I was young, and I wasn't even on contract. They put me, WWF put me on the road, and I was just, they had an A and B team at that time, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast. I would work the East Coast all the time. And, you know, I would ride with him and Fuji a lot. And, you know, I wasn't making money, but he would always, all the time, go in his pocket, give me $100, $200, $300. Here, put it away. I was like, cuz, you know, I'm good. He goes, no. He'd always do that. And anybody in our family, or anybody, not just our family, but anybody, if they needed something, he'd bless them. And that's the way Rod was. You know, he was definitely a blessing in our family, just like everybody. But Rod had a special, I don't know how to put it, man. He just had a special, he had an angel following him, because he was just blessing everybody. And, you know, I'll never forget, you know, what he did for everybody, and, you know, how he became who he was in this industry. And at the same time, being humble of what he progressed and made of himself in this business.
Man, I can hear that love and admiration in your voice, and I appreciate you for sharing that. Thank you.
Yeah, man. I want to piggyback off of that, man. We've actually had Offa Jr. on the show. We've had Rikishi on the show, and we actually even had my boy Toa Maivia. And I talked to Toa about this because Toa's my dog. When Rock was in Vegas, and he showed that Bloodline family tree, Toa instantly said he almost started crying. It was like amazing because he was like, you know, he's part of the family, but he's like, you know, not directly connected. You know what I mean? But it still made him feel good that he was on there. When you saw Rock release that and show that family tree, how did that first make you feel? Because obviously, I don't think anybody knew he was going to do that.
That's a great question. Yeah, how did it make you feel? Please.
No, you know, you're right. You know, when I was watching it and he opened, you know, when he was talking about you're either going to hate it or you're going to love it. And then when they showed that and I saw the names on there, man, it touched my heart too. It put a tear in my eye, to be honest, you know, because it just showed how big our family is. And it just showed the world how spread out we are. And to see our names up there, you know, everybody in the industry that's involved in wrestling, man, it really was a shocker, but it was heart touching, you know, and I'm glad that he did that. I am so glad that he did it. And also, I was told, I didn't get a chance to go over there, but the WWE World, I heard it was on a platform and it was on the wall there.
Oh, yeah, it was. And people were taking all types. They were taking pictures with it. Everybody was. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And, you know, it was, you know, that's just to go show and let people see who else is involved in this, because a lot of people don't know who else is involved in our family. You know, they know who they see right now, right. But some people are incognito, and then they say, wow, that person's involved, you know, part of the family. So it shows that, you know, there's more than just what people know and see on wrestling right now, besides who they see directly on WWE right now.
Okay, cool. Now, I got to bring this up, man, because back in the day, well, matter of fact, let me back up. Me and Joe was just on a guy's podcast, former WWE staffer Brian Solomon. He used to work for WWE. And we were kind of talking about the connection with hip-hop and wrestling.
Mm.
Dog, y'all always had some hip-hop flavor with y'all. As a matter of fact, weren't y'all part of the Wu-Tang or something? Or weren't they doing some stuff with y'all at one point? Like, y'all hip-hop and y'all was together.
It's funny because, you know, Capadonis did a video, and me, my brother, and my dad were in that video, and it was called Run.
That's right. We were part of that.
Yeah.
That's right.
And we got to meet those guys out there. You know, they were in the back. They were, you know, they were there just hanging out, you know, hanging out with their boy and whatnot. So we got to meet Method Man and back then, old Dirty Bastard was still alive at that time, you know, so they were all out there, and it was a blessing to, you know, meet them and all that. But, you know, ever since we were young, we always had that hip hop vibe in us, you know, back in the days, you know, Keish and Yoko, they used to do all the pop locking and rapping and all that. I can remember when we were younger and my dad used to put on shows, and, you know, I was young, Keish was just starting in the business, and Yoko was just starting, and we just sit in the locker room, and we go in the shower where you hear that echo. Yeah. You know, when you go in a high school locker room and that shower is opened up and it's got that echo, well, I sit there and I do the beatbox, and Keish and Yoko would rap, and all the wrestlers, all the boys, they would sit there and they would come over there and they would sit there and listen to us. You know, we were young, we were having a good time, and, you know, we were raised up like that. So, yeah, that hip-hop always been in our family, man. Always.
I mean, you can't bring it up and not give us a little bit. You still got a little beatbox in you, dog.
Yeah, no, build up.
Let me hear a little something, man.
You know, a little something like that.
Okay, I got you. Yo, now I want to go back to Pop for a second. First of all, how's he doing now?
He's doing good, man. He's home and he's out in the hospital, and praise God. He's a warrior. He's a fighter, man.
For sure.
You know, day by day, the Lord keep continue to heal him, and he's doing all right so far. So thank you for asking. I appreciate that so much.
Yeah.
For sure. Now, a couple of my guys from the Michigan area, because I'm actually a former independent wrestler myself. A couple of my guys trained
out
there.
Hold on. I have to stop you every time you do that.
What?
You're not just a former independent wrestler. You were one of the top 500 wrestlers in the world. Okay?
I was on 420 at one time. One time at PWI.
Okay.
Okay. You're right. All right.
Okay.
Fine.
You was one of the 500 best
still,
in the world.
You still got to get that respect. You know what I mean?
So come on, man.
That's a
come
fact,
on, man.
But I was going to say, a couple of our guys, Primetime Tommy Johnson, and he goes by D-Ray 3000, they trained with the Samoans.
Yes,
and
sir.
One thing I heard was, even with you guys as being family, Alpha did not play. He did not let y'all just slide through because y'all were family going through wrestling school.
No.
Would you expound on that?
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, when my dad trained us, and I'll be honest with you, a lot of us, it was easy to train because it was like in our blood. Mm-hmm. But we had to make sure we had it right down pat. And my dad, he wouldn't hold no punches on us. You know, he treated us just like everybody else. If we're gonna learn, we're gonna learn. Actually, he was more harder on us because he wanted to make sure we wanted to make things right. And you know, so there was no slack in it. You know what I mean? It was like just like when we used to go to the gym, we go work out. There was no slack like that. You know, you get in the gym, if you couldn't do it, he yell at us, "Hey, you can't do it." He goes, "Don't never say never." And he make us work out. So he, you know, I'm not saying he was killer on us, but he wanted to make sure we had this craft down. So that way, when we got into that ring and we got to work, that we had it down pat and there was no coming back from it.
Hey, what is it in the Samoan genetics, man, that makes y'all heads so hard? Yeah, y'all headbutt a mug and almost kill him. Like, what?
Well, that's from getting hitting the head with coconuts all the time.
Oh, man.
I'm getting bopped in the head from the old man.
Okay. So you brought up another point that I did question I want to bring up, man. And by the way, guys, you listen to 106.1 FM WAKT Toledo's community radio station, the Wrestling Heroes and Insiders podcast. And we got LA Smooth from the Samoan Gangsta Party on the show right now. But I want to ask this too, because I talked to Toa about it and I talked to Alpha Jr. as well. Just like with black wrestlers back in the day, there were certain things that they did, stereotypes, if you will. You know what I'm talking about. There were a lot of things that they did back in the day with Samoan wrestlers. And now when you talk about like the Usos and stuff, it's transitioning. Back in the day when some of that stuff, was that by design by you guys or was that the promoter that wanted y'all to do some of the different things that was characteristic of Samoan wrestlers?
That's a good question.
There was no promoters in it. You know, my dad and them first came up with the Samoan drop, and that carried on to all of us. You know, Jimmy Superfly Snuka came off the top rope with the splash, and that carried on to everybody else. So that was something that, you know, they came up with, and we just kept that going in our family, you know, and doing that. And now, as you see it, it's done a different way. Yeah. You know, you got the pop-up Samoan drops, you got the hanging in the air, you know, put your head behind your back doing a splash. So, you know, they just add their own style to it. But you know, that is something that was original, that wasn't given to us, that was made up by our, you know, my dad, my uncle, and of course Jimmy Snuka.
No, all right, look, man, here's something in the Samoan bloodline and dynasty, man, that need to carry on, that was prevalent back in the day. Man, where y'all afros at, man? Y'all had them beautiful afros, man. Now y'all all got braids, man. Come on, man, where the fros at, man?
Well, you know what? If I don't wet my hair, that afro will be coming out. It'll be long, but it'll be out. You know, we all got to put that soul glow now. You know, we got to keep that hair wet, you know what I mean? But, you know, if we didn't, look at WrestleMania the first night. Look at Roman when he got out of the ring. Yeah. His hair was all over the place. So, you know, that afro can come out when it wants to.
That's a fact, man.
Okay. Okay.
So, I heard this story, and I've always been trying to get proof of this is true. Hulk Hogan, in his book, he one time said that when he first got called up to New York, the Samoans were picking him up, Alpha and Sika. And at that time, kayfabe was serious. As you know, you couldn't let anybody into the business, you know. So I guess Hogan states that he had his gun because he heard about how New York could be. But he was riding with Alpha and Sika, the police pulled him over. And Hogan was trying to explain to the police that he was a WWF wrestler. And he looked to Alpha and Sika and said, "Tell him As you know, they didn't talk back then. So to keep kayfabe up, they never said nothing, and Hogan almost went to jail. Is that a true story, man?
Yes, it is, brother. It For is real? True. Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man, you know, that's happened a few times, you know what I mean?
And
believe it or not, that can get you out of a lot of trouble.
But
going to Hogan right now, Hogan has actually been part of our family for a long time. My dad and my uncle helped, you know, put him in the business, you know, helped him in the business. And, you know, my uncle Sika used to be on the beach in Pensacola all the time and hanging out. And so Hogan holds a, you know, special place in, you know, our family, you know, so, you know, anything he says in that book has got to be true 100%.
That's what's up, man. I want the fans to know this too. Don't get it twisted. LA Smooth is still doing his thing. You're actually going to be a part of NWA Power, man. Let's talk about that a little bit. What you got coming up with NWA Power?
Well, we start our TV tapings tomorrow in Tampa, Florida. And then May 18th, we are heading to Dallas, Texas for the Crockett Cup. So we're going to see how everything goes with that so far. And, you know, I'm still got my doors open for going back to WWE. Like I tell everybody else, I'm shooting for trying to go back as a producer, you know, because if I can do that and not wrestle, you know, save my body more than what I can right now, that's what I want to do. But yeah, I got to keep that grind going, you know what I mean? I'm going to keep going until wheels fall off. So as long as I can keep going, I'll do it. When my body tells me no, then it's no.
I get it.
Okay.
Now you talked about that right there, being a producer, which I actually like that idea. But, man, you were there, WrestleMania 40. And I was just telling Joe before we became on the show, I was at WrestleMania 38 in Dallas, and obviously it was huge then. But every year it gets bigger and bigger. Seeing this WWE machine, man, especially from where it came from, like, could you believe it would have got this big?
You know, you're absolutely right. Every year it gets bigger and bigger, and it just goes to show you how big the industry is getting, you know, how much TV has changed WWE, you know, for all the sponsorships they got. And it's just not like where you just had it on one channel last time. Now it's all over the place. You know, you got it on USA, you got it on Fox. Now it's going on Netflix, and, you know, it's on Peacock, and I mean, all over the world. And it is amazing how, you know, I'm just amazed, and I'm so happy for the company, because, you know, without Vince McMahon Sr., it would be no WWF. You know what I mean? And then his son took it to another level. Now you got Triple H in there, and he's taking it to a new era, like he says. And you can see that progressing now. And you can see that they're bringing some of that old school back. And I love it, because that's what wrestling needs. You know what I mean? It needs some of that old school in there, like Rock is doing, going out there and, you know, busting Cody open on a bus and beating him with a strap. Man, that's true heel.
Yep.
You know, moves, and that's what they want to see. That's what the people want to see. You know, even though a lot of young kids, they don't like it, but I mean, that's what's going to draw your crowd. You know what I mean? They're going to come out there and they want to, you know, you can go off the top rope and flip flop all you want, but is that going to draw you money? In my book, nah.
Very true.
Check this out, LA Smooth. Hold on, Will. I'm sorry, Will.
No, you're good.
Let me throw this at him right quick. With the popularity, the magnetism of an event like WrestleMania, you're going to have wrestling fans from all over the world congregating in this one area. And I like the fact that other wrestling promotions are now taking advantage of that and making sure that they have something in the city or in the area where it's taking place. So for you, WrestleCon and then the WWE events aside, what did you experience WrestleMania weekend that you really enjoyed?
I always enjoy WrestleManias, you know what I mean? I always enjoy the Hall of Fames, but this was something special. I mean, because, of course, you know, my cousin being in the main event, both of them being in the main event, and the Hall of Fame, and who was inducted in the Hall of Fame. So this one was a little more special right now. But again, like I told you before, the main one was to see my dad and my uncle inducted in the Hall of Fame. That was one of my top ones, you know, to see there and witness that. But WrestleMania 40 is just, it was unbelievable. I mean, Whip, you could tell them that Philadelphia was on fire.
I mean,
it was on fire there. I mean, everywhere they had everything down. They had the convention center locked down. They had all the hotels locked down. They had, the stadium, Wells Fargo. I mean, it was just crazy. And then, like you said, all the independent other companies that were in the area, they had shows at 11 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock in the morning. It was just crazy. So all these companies are actually riding on the coattails of WWE with WrestleMania, which helped them because it gave everybody opportunity not just to go to WrestleMania, but to see all these other independent companies go out there and showcase their talent and their company as well. So, kudos to them.
I tell people all the time, if you're a wrestling fan, at least once in your life, you need to go to a WrestleMania weekend outside of your state and just absorb that energy because there was nothing like it. Like you just said, I was gonna ask you, man, how many people was hanging around y'all hotel trying to meet y'all, man?
When you first of all, you couldn't even get in a hotel unless you had a key. They had, Philadelphia Police Department there. They had security, but there were so many people there that had locked down their rooms before that. So they were in there. Of course, they were bringing friends in there, but it was just crazy, because the lines outside were nuts. As soon as you pull up, and some of the guys will pull up in the front. The majority of the buses were pulling out under the hotel, which made it a little more easier. That way, you didn't have to deal with the fans outside. But it was crazy though. I mean, don't get me wrong. The bar area and the restaurants, they were jam packed, and people were just waiting for people to come through the hallways to go to the room. But I do like is a lot of the guys came down and they sat down and they talked to the fans, and that's special. You know what I mean? And for them not to do that would be, bad on their part because people look up to them. Because I say this time and time again, and Whip, you can verify that for me. Without the fans, they wouldn't be us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely
You
true.
know, so they watch us all the time. They see WWE, they see independent wrestling, they see the wrestlers they like, and they come out to come out and see you. So therefore, give them their props, give them their flowers. You know what I mean? Let them understand that they're appreciated as well.
Let me tell you, I was just telling Joe, even as an adult, the emotion runs through people. I was just telling him, your cousin Roman Reigns, and I'm a big Roman guy. I talk about him all the time on my social media. But there
Yes,
was a guy
sir.
in my hotel. I'm walking, this is Monday morning, because like I said, I was doing a lot of media for WWE. So I'm going back down to the world to get some more footage and everything. And a guy comes out. Now he's a vet and he's really sad. I'm like, bro, you okay? He noticed I got a wrestling shirt on. He was like, bro, I'm hurt. I said, what's wrong? Roman, man. He was so hurt that Roman lost. But the reason was not just because he lost, because obviously Roman's situation with leukemia that he had previously or whatever. The young man had a medical situation himself. So he saw himself in Roman because even though he had that medical situation himself, he still ended up being a military guy at 29 years old. So Roman losing hurt him so much because he felt he was Roman. You know what I'm saying? Like he even said, he took his belt and gave it to a kid that was like 10 because if Roman wasn't a champion, he didn't want to be the champion. Now, that might have been a little bit extreme, but I tried to tell him, yeah. But that young man also will never forget that this man gave him a belt at 10 years old. So when that young man is 50, he's going to always remember that. You know what I'm saying?
Sharing is
Well,
caring.
you know what? It's not a little extreme because I'm going to tell you why. People boo Roman. They didn't like him, especially when he started the Bloodline and did all this stuff. He was over like hell, and the people still hated him. But when his music hit, how many
You're right.
people stood up and put the one up? They
That's
love,
so true.
they hate to love him, they love to hate him.
Hey,
All of
listen,
them.
I'm about to
You
tell
see
a
what
little
I'm
secret.
saying?
I'm about to tell a little secret in the
And
press room.
when he lost that belt, I ain't gonna lie to you. I was in the press box, and when I saw him get the 1, 2, 3, my heart just dropped.
Same,
And
same.
it's not just because, I know the wrestling industry, I know how it needs to work, but just how many people the hearts he touched to people just for being who he was. You know, like you said, having leukemia. you know, and this gentleman having a sickness and looking up to him because he's seen what he went through and how he continued to be champion. And then he figured if Roman ain't champion, he don't feel like he's a champion. He gave the belt to this kid.
Yeah.
That right there is heart touching because he felt that Roman kept him alive.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he's done that for so many people, you know, and it's not just him being Roman. It's just being him and how he built his persona and how many people he was able to touch as he was still being a true heel.
Mm-hmm.
You don't got too many people in this business that can do what he did just now. So he will go down in history as one of the best in this wrestling wrestling industry.
I totally agree with that, man.
That connection that professional wrestling creates, man, cannot be denied, man. Seeing people cry because Roman lost and seeing people cry because Cody won, that type of emotion, man, just goes back to kids growing up on superheroes. Think about the young men and women who cried when Bane broke Batman's back reading that comic book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when Doomsday killed Superman, how people felt and how people cheered in the theater when the Avengers finally defeated Thanos in Endgame, and people cried in the theaters. That's, you know, that connection, man. It can't be denied, man. People see them as heroes, man.
And that connection comes from what was Batman and Robin? What was that? That was a story, right?
Uh-huh. It was a story. Absolutely. Yep.
Exactly. So therefore, just look at how long Roman has put his story there and people followed it for how many years. I saw you know, what was it on, was it TikTok? I think it was. A young kid was sitting there and he showed a picture of him when he was, I believe, 4 years old, when Roman first started, you know, and won the belt. And here he was at 8 or 9 years old, following him and see him lose that belt. This kid cried at 9 years old. Yes. And it touched my heart to see that, because this kid was young following him and then being 9 years old and finally see his champion lose. It broke his heart. So that storyline just goes to show you that it didn't just touch young kids, it touched adults, it touched everybody. And just like you said, that connection is unbelievable. When you have a storyline like that, the connection is real.
I have experienced that. My cousin Keith, God rest his soul, when Hulk Hogan lost the title to the Ultimate Warrior, he was devastated.
Wow. And that's why I was so glad when the next day, really that night, Thank You Roman was trending. Because it just showed that people, like you said, the connection was real. The connection was, because I know it was with me, man. I don't want to go too deep, man. I'm going to get all emotional again. So we're gonna step away from that, man. But L.A. Smooth, first of all, I want to thank you for coming on the show, dog. Hope you enjoyed yourself.
I appreciate it, man. Of course, you know, we got to do this again, man. Even if it ain't about my family, it's about anything else. You know, I enjoy doing these podcasts, you know, because it gets me to reach out to all the other fans and just people in general and just, you know, to kick it and tell some stories. You know, it's all good.
For sure. But, you know, I can't let you leave just yet because there's one more segment. Now, this is what I call the mark out moment. Now, when I say that,
here we go.
Yeah, let's go. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying you go around screaming like a little girl, like, oh my God. But that one moment that even though you're LA Smooth, you're part of this family, you're like, dog, this is my life. Like, this is, like, it was somebody you met, somebody that knew you, a situation you were in. What was that one mark out moment you was like, wow, this is it?
Wow. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie to you. I had a few of them.
Talk to us.
Yeah. Oh, man. There's a lot of them, man. I'll never forget. I marked out for when I met. I don't even want to say it.
And it ain't got to be wrestling. Go ahead. It don't have to be a wrestler. It could be whatever in the world.
No, it's not even wrestling. I marked out for when I met Jennifer Lopez, man. I fell in love with her, man.
Let's go, man.
It's like I just melted right there and didn't even know I melted, if you know what I mean.
She was just Jenny from the block, man. Come on.
Yeah, but that block is... All right, let me shut up now. Hey, that block is big.
Hey.
But yeah, I marked off for that. I really mark off for my, believe it or not, I mark off for my family.
That's what's up.
And I'm gonna keep it real, like when Roman won and he kept winning, and I'd sit in front of the TV. I watch it all the time to keep up with what's going on. So when that time comes, when they call me up, I know what I'm dealing with. You know what I mean? And plus I try to keep up with my family. But me and my son, we'll sit there and we'll watch it, and there's times where we think he's gonna lose, and I'm sitting there in front of the TV like a mark, like, hey, getting all excited. And when he wins, I'll yell, yes, you know what I mean? And I don't have no shame in my game, as family's family, but at the same time, you get involved. Like I said, that storyline comes back. You
Yes.
get involved in it, and the feelings are there, family or no family, but that storyline catches you. And me being in business all these years, it still catches me. So that just goes to show you how good the story is.
Facts, facts, man, facts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? Once again, LA Smooth, thank you for joining us on the show, man. Let them know what else you got coming up. I know you said NWA Power, if you want to tell them about that again or how they could get a hold of you.
Yes, sir. I'll be at TV tapings tomorrow at the TV tapings in Tampa, Florida for NWA. And then we got my dad's last WXW show that he's going to be putting on is on Saturday in Mineola, Florida. I'll be there. And as well as you can catch me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all of them. You can catch me on there. Just look up my name, Lloyd on Hawaii or LA Smooth. You can look it up and you'll be able to punch me in, connect with me. We can chop it up, message. I'm good at getting back with people. If I don't, I'll get back to you sooner or later, but I ain't the type of person that lets messages go. I like to reach out to my fans as much as I can. So you can catch me on that. And also, I got a couple other things going on. I got another signing in Orlando on April 20th. I'll be at the RepliCon with, I believe, Steiners and a whole bunch of people there. I believe Matt and Jeff Hardy are there as well. So that's something coming up. But I'm just keeping myself busy. So, trying to keep the grind going.
That's what's up. We got some more
That's what's
acting in your
up.
future, man. I know you did a little
Yes,
bit. You gonna
sir.
do some more acting?
Yeah. I just actually just did they call it Echogram. They asked me to do a part for the Moana new movie that's coming out.
Word.
So hopefully if I get that part, then you'll see me on that. But I keep doing, getting these parts and keep putting in for it. And when they jump, they jump. So I just keep crossing my fingers.
That's what's up, man. Well, thank you for joining the show, Oos. Joe, I
Yes,
know you
sir.
had a fun with him as well, man.
I had a blast.
That's what's up,
Oh
man. Well,
yeah,
thank you
and
very
that's how it's
much.
supposed to be, right?
You did. Well, guys,
Yeah,
thank you very much. Y'all heard it. There's nothing else to be said. And WWE, you know what to do. Bring them in. Come on. You know you
come
need
on,
to. Bring
yeah,
them in.
don't waste no more time. Let's get it going, man. Get
Right.
the
What?
family in there, not just in the ring, but behind the scenes.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't waste time. Y'all know what to do. All right,
Yes,
we
sir.
out of here. The Wrestling Heroes and Insiders Podcast, aka The Whip Show. Take care,
All
y'all.
right, whipping Joe, peace.